Hello, and welcome to another episode of Podcast DX, the show that brings you interviews with people just like you, whose lives were forever changed by medical diagnosis. On this week's episode, we will be discussing reproduction as it relates to oocyte cryopreservation or egg freezing, and it may not be suited for some listeners. Listener discretion is advised.
I'm Lita.
And I'm Ron.
And I'm Jean Marie.
Collectively, we are the hosts of Podcast DX. On today's show, we are speaking with Valerie Landis. Valerie Landis has been working in women's health field for the last decade. Her medical career experience and passion for helping women merged when she funded the educational website, eggsperience.com. I love that, Valerie. And hosts a podcast called Eggology Club.
And I've enjoyed listening to that.
Yes. She focuses on guiding women of any reproductive age through the complex and challenging path of family planning decisions and expands the fertility conversation around the modern-day journey to parenthood. Valerie speaks openly about her own personal egg-freezing experiences on a video documentary series called ThisIsEggFreezing.com. She also highlights a collection of firsthand experiences of other women's fertility journeys and stories on her websites. Welcome to the show, Valerie.
Hi, Valerie.
Hi, Valerie.
Hi. Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to talk to you guys today.
That's great. Valerie, what is egg freezing?
Well, egg freezing is becoming a little bit more well known, but you know, in previous years, not a lot of people knew what egg freezing is. And it's really just the medical fertility method we use to collect one's eggs. So women have oocytes, and cryopreservation or freezing allows us to take that egg at this moment in time and freeze that for their reproductive future. And so eggs can be retrieved from a woman's ovaries, and we take a series of drugs for about 2 weeks.
Okay.
And we grow those follicles to a very mature state that's ready for harvest and collection. And eggs are unfertilized DNA of women. And so when they are extracted out of the body, we can successfully freeze them and store them for later.
Hmm.
So a frozen egg, you know, can be thawed at any time.
Wow.
So it's really a combination that happens in the lab, and then later that egg can be combined with a sperm and implanted to make an embryo and put back into the uterus with IVF or in vitro fertilization, and then hopefully attempt for a successful pregnancy. So cryopreservation or egg freezing is really just the retrieval of one's eggs from a woman's ovary and storing them for later.
Oh, okay.
All right.
Valerie, I understand that you've had some of your own eggs frozen. What made you decide that oocyte cryopreservation was right for you?
Yeah, you know, I think it was an evolution that kind of manifested over time. I work in the medical industry and women's health, especially specifically within fertility and oncology. And so, you know, I had a deeper understanding of a woman and women in general, our human body and how it works. And because I was selling products and solutions and medical devices on so many different levels, for me personally, it just really made it comfortable talking and working in this industry and about that that subject matter. And so when I started looking at my own life, the advances in reproductive medicine and sexual health, you know, they're not really taught in school. So I had like this elevated learning process and how not to get pregnant and how to get pregnant and all these things. And so I just feel really fortunate that my career kind of gave me this elevated learning of education, a higher baseline than most, because it's really been priceless information that I've been passing along to my girlfriends and inner circle for years.
Okay.
So when I started looking at my own physical, you know, life and what do I envision for my future, you know, I felt really comfortable with several doctors and clinics, and I decided to do it for myself because I knew all of the benefits and the inner workings of how this could be a great technology for me and my future. You know, life didn't really go as planned, so to speak. You know, you thought those long-term relationships would equal the marriage and family and kids, and they didn't. So I was like, you know what? I gotta take advantage of, I'm preaching the gospel. I might as well take advantage of it for myself. So that's kind of why I considered egg freezing to be the technology that I would embark on.
Okay. Yeah. That all seems to make a lot of sense. And I've heard that among the many reasons to have one's eggs frozen includes that women are trying to increase their odds and beat the biological clock because of perhaps a cancer diagnosis and a concern that otherwise healthy eggs might be destroyed by chemotherapy and radiation, or because maybe someone has a family history of early menopause, that might be another reason, or even if a woman has a medical condition which makes it especially difficult to conceive, they may want to look into this as well.
Right. Valerie, how old were you when you went through the procedure yourself?
So the first time I froze, I was 33 years old. And, you know, it took a little bit of time. I probably really considered it at 29 after my relationship had just ended, four-year relationship had just ended. Essentially, it took till 33. And so then after I took that leap of faith and froze the first time at 33, I then did it as a second time 2 years later at 35. So that was back in 2015 and 2017. Mm-hmm. And a lot had changed within fertility. So the ASRM released that egg freezing wasn't experimental anymore around 2012, the fall or end of 2012. And due to those advancements in vitrification is part of the reason why the ASRM or the American Society of Reproductive Medicine decided to release that. So I, you know, I was kind of an earlier adopter.
Right.
I wasn't the original, like, first wave of people that were freezing their eggs, but I definitely was in that very early adoption period. And I successfully froze 17 eggs the first time in 2015. And then when I froze again at 35, I didn't collect as many as I did the first time, right? Because your eggs obviously grow older over time.
Right, right.
So I got 12 more eggs. So I have a total of 29 eggs at this point.
Okay.
But, you know, just for anybody that is thinking about doing this procedure, you know, earlier is always better.
Sure.
But there's, you know, some challenges with that too, because maybe you may not be ready, or you might be in a relationship where you might be thinking about when the right time is for you. And for me, the right time was early 30s because
right.
I know that I want to have children.
Right. I mean, how many 20-year-olds are saying, oh, so I'm going to, you know, like planning things out to that extent?
Well, this is truly an individual case-by-case basis.
Oh, sure. But she's, in terms of optimal times to do things, sure. And you got to do
it. Yeah,
and
it's hard. It's hard because this is like a preventative medicine.
Mm-hmm.
It's rather hard to know when or if you should take advantage of it.
Sure.
You know, I think it's very challenging to come to that conclusion. And when you're in your early 20s, you know, you feel like you have your whole life ahead of you.
Absolutely.
And
you
don't really think like, oh, my eggs are getting old.
Right.
But, you know, there are some challenges, and that's why you're seeing like a lot of celebrities and stuff having babies later in life. They're going through these fertility treatments, and some are maybe even using donor eggs or donor sperm to conceive. And so within the biological clock of women, we really have a very short window when we can conceive naturally and have our own DNA biological children.
Oh,
so
yes, right.
Yeah. If you wait too long, like 37, 38, 39, 40, it's not that you can't have a baby with your own eggs. It's just that the percentage of your eggs working go down by a lot. So every egg that you extract and were able to freeze successfully, you have between a 2 and 12% chance of that turning into a live birth. You know, there's many steps in order to get to a healthy born child.
Right.
So, you know, you have to freeze the egg, and then you have to thaw it, and you have to inseminate with sperm.
Right.
Then you have to make sure it grows into an embryo and implant it. And then you have to have a healthy pregnancy for 9-10 months. So.
Right, right. So you're not planning on having 29 children in the near future. I'm just saying.
Right.
Yeah, okay.
The 29
All right.
eggs that I have frozen really only equaled 85% chance of having a baby.
Okay.
Wow.
Okay. But it's a greater chance than you may have had otherwise. So,
sure.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And did you say that you did have to take hormones and or other medications in preparation for this procedure?
Yes. So IVF or fertility treatment, especially like with egg freezing, it's really just IVF without the F, right? So women going through hormone cycles, they're doing the exact same thing that women that are freezing their eggs are doing. They're just not fertilizing them, right? So you take hormones between 10 and 14 days, depending on how you respond to the meds. So right after you get your period, you go in like day 3 for morning monitoring visit, and we check your levels, and then essentially you say, okay, you're ready for your cycle. Then you start your shots that night. And okay. So you do a series of shots in the evening, and then around week number 2, so about after 5 or 7 days of this, you have to then take a shot in the morning to prevent yourself from ovulating. Because what you're doing is you're growing your eggs to be of mature state. So on a normal cycle or in a natural cycle, you really only make 1 or 2 eggs, and mm-hmm. that is the follicle that gets cycled that month.
Right.
And then when there is a sperm, it gets reabsorbed into your system and moves on. Well, with fertility treatment, these hormones are so powerful that they make many follicles.
Inside
a follicle is a possible egg. And we want to grow this follicle to over 15 millimeter sizes so it's mature enough to freeze.
Okay.
So yeah, you have to take hormones for quite a bit of time, and then you take your trigger shot, and then that's when you can, and then 36 hours or so, 24, 36 hours, then you go in for the retrieval.
Okay.
So is there any pain involved in this?
I mean, pain is very relative, right?
Sure. Like, yeah.
It depends what your pain tolerance is, but you do have to inject yourself with needles and to give yourself the shot. So, you know, you can essentially numb the area before you give yourself the shot. You can have someone help you if you're a little squeamish on that stuff. But as far as the actual procedure, I mean, it's not like super comfortable the 2.5 weeks that you're doing fertility treatments.
Right.
The procedure itself does have an extraction, but you're put under a light sedation, or like what I call a twilight sleep.
Okay.
And so you don't even feel anything when your eggs are being removed. But there's some light pressure, some cramping, you know, you have a bloating like feeling because it's like having watermelons or little melons growing inside your ovaries.
Oh my
and
God.
So okay. You can imagine where all the other organs have to kind of rearrange,
sure.
right?
Yeah,
and
sure,
it's uncomfortable.
Yeah, yeah,
it's uncomfortable.
Yeah.
But it just depends. The one thing we just want to prevent is what they call ovarian hyperstimulation syndrome. It's OHSS to be for short.
Mm-hmm.
And that is really the highest possible risk associated with egg freezing, that your levels could get to an unsafe position or spot in your body where your ovaries could twist or accidentally become entangled and have the like, emergency, you need to go to the hospital, and hopefully everything will be okay. But some people have lost ovaries on this. So that's why they have the morning monitor visit that you come in every other day, because they're just making sure that we don't inject too much hormones in your body, because you want quality over quantity, but numbers are still important too.
Okay.
Right. Well, you know what? That was really good information, because I'm picturing just a woman on the street that really doesn't have any medical knowledge, and she might be wondering, well, why am I going in so often? Mm-hmm. They're just trying to take my money or something. It's a very important part of the procedure then.
Yeah,
it is.
Okay.
And so, yeah, the med system, like you shouldn't exercise, for example, when you're doing fertility treatment. You need to be kind of docile and everybody responds differently, but
sure.
You know, if you're feeling some of the effects from the hormones, it's because your body is working really hard to produce these quality mature eggs, and so you just need to be kind to yourself and take it easy. So I like to say, you know, this is the time for major self care. You know, long baths and relaxing meditation. You don't want to be stressed out, because you're trying to give this one short window of opportunity where you need to like make your body a little bit of a temple and be kind to yourself and eat really healthy and just, you know, feel ready for this major undertaking you're embarking on.
Right.
Okay.
Valerie, do you have a personal timeline for trying to have children? And also, how long do the eggs last once they're frozen?
Yeah, that's a great question. So personally, on my end, part of the reason I froze my eggs is to calm this qualm of trying to find your parenting partner or mm-hmm. my future husband, right? And I think dating's changed a lot. So it's a little harder now than maybe it has been in years past, or like for my parents' generation that just met the love of their life after college or high school or something, you know, and then they've been married for 50 plus years. That's just kind of not as common anymore. And so personally for me, egg freezing allows me the opportunity to make really smart decisions in my dating life and not feel like I need to really make pressure to make this relationship work when it's not working.
Sure.
And so ideally I'd like to use my frozen eggs later if I'm having trouble getting pregnant naturally, because the goal is, and I think most women feel this way, even when they freeze their eggs, is that, you know, you really still just want to do this naturally. It's really expensive and can get costly to seek fertility treatments for every pregnancy, depending on how big you want your family size. But, you know, finding my future husband and that parenting partner that wants the same things I want, and then we have these eggs as a needed benefit if I hit 40. But you never know. Like, if I hit 40 and I reevaluate my goals, I don't know how I'm going to feel, you know, it's still
sure.
five years away from me. And you don't know what can happen in that time period. So,
yeah, a lot can happen.
Right. And I might want to be a single mom then. And now I have more options, because then I can find a donor sperm and fertilize themselves. And maybe, or the person I end up with will already have his family, and then I'll already have mine. So you never know. But it's just interesting because, like, a lot of people wonder and ask, like you said in the second part, like, how long can you freeze these eggs? And technically, we can keep the eggs frozen indefinitely. They are frozen in time. So I have 33-year-old eggs and I have 35-year-old eggs, both frozen. And as long as, you know, the technology and the technicians don't mess it up when they mm-hmm. thaw it, they should work as though they're 33-year-old eggs. And so that's what's great about it's really giving women the advantage to extend their fertility and extend their reproductive system to carry pregnancies longer and be able to carry your own biological child later in life.
That's great. That's
so egg freezing solves those problems.
Right. Okay. Yeah. And if you want to have focus, you know, right out of college or high school, if you want to focus on career, and then, it, like you said, I mean, I think it's amazing that you are really, you've really thought things out and haven't had to, you know, like that you're focusing more on your health and your career and the fact that a relationship doesn't magically happen and that you're letting everything develop naturally in that regard. It's wonderful. When you actually had your eggs frozen, did you ever consider having them fertilized first and then frozen, or any of them, frozen as embryos?
So when I froze my eggs in my early 30s, you know, I debated this in both ways. Like, I was looking like, oh, maybe I should make some embryos, but I really want to give myself the most chances that I could biologically have a child with my partner and who I end up with. So I did not freeze any embryos. I did look into that when I was freezing the second time around. But I think that's part of the reason why I started experience.com too, because I was really in this self-exploration process and I needed to write all these thoughts down to come to such clear conclusions.
Sure.
And I was speaking to so many different women that had done this too. I kind of call it a fertility sisterhood. You know, it's like the friends that you choose, right?
Yeah.
And I was interviewing all these different women and hearing their egg freezing stories and why they did it and what made them do it and how long that took them and those conclusions that they had gotten to. And a lot of times those stories, it was like a devastating relationship that just ended. And then they're like, wow, okay, I just wasted X amount of time. I need to go freeze my eggs now. And then, so that's how the podcast kind of naturally came about, is I was doing all these interviews on experience and wanted to give it more life and the platform to live in many different forms. So Eggology Club is really just to help women in a different format to teach them about their options. And so that's kind of also what's happening with the video docuseries, This Is Egg Freezing, because now people can see exactly what egg freezing looks like from start to finish, every hormone, every injection, exactly where my mind is, how emotional it can be. Because I think, you know, you don't know how to prepare for this if you've never done it before. And I really wanted to document the process.
Okay. Yeah, and yeah, I think there
so I could tell my story.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, because everybody's story is so unique and it is very personal. But it's also, I joke, I was telling a really close friend the other day that, you know, this is almost like the pre-home video to show your future kid. Like, this
sure,
is how bad
sure.
I want it
right,
to.
Right.
You know, like, yeah. All this documenting in all these different formats, either
right.
written or in audio formats or on video. It's really just my way of diving into showing my commitment to the motherhood and how someday this child will realize how important that was for me.
Right. Right. That's wonderful. And yeah, I think a lot of people are going to learn ever so much from your experience. It's wonderful.
Well, and that's the goal, is to help educate other women to be empowered and brave to take this on as their fertility future, and save, you know, preventing the what ifs or the regrets when you like get past the age where you can't actually conceive naturally. And then you're like, well, I never had a child and I really wish I would have. Like, you know, it's funny because we'll talk about celebrities like Jennifer Aniston, for example. And the media is so cruel to her. Maybe she didn't want children. Maybe there's other struggles that you don't even know about. And single motherhood by choice isn't easy either. There's a lot of challenges with that. But it's about having more options. And that way you can make the best choice for the time period that you're in when you're ready to make those decisions. And so when you think about it younger, you just have a better advantage of having more options.
Right. Okay.
Gotcha. Another question. What did you take into consideration when choosing a facility to freeze and store your eggs?
Yeah, picking your right doctor and the right clinic is it's a two-part scenario. So, you know, having a doctor you love is awesome, but just equally as important is the fertility lab. Mm-hmm. That is where the technology and the science really happens. And I had kind of an unfair advantage on this, or like a leg up, because I worked with all of the fertility clinics nationwide and knew these doctors for a very long time. So you get a really good sense of like who professionally you would want to be in charge of such a precious thing like your fertility and your DNA.
Right.
And so working with them on such a personal level made me very comfortable when I decided to go all in and freeze my own DNA. And I had kind of that gut feeling like, oh, here's these metrics and this is what I want. And so I've been trying to pass that along like on the website, experience.com, and help people dissect and evaluate what makes the right clinic for you and what makes the right doctor's office for you. Because you do have to, it's a time commitment. I mean, you do have to go in there multiple times and mm-hmm. you have to feel like you trust the professionals that are working with your DNA and that takes that's a lot of trust. And so
yeah.
I hope that others can just learn from all my resources on how to find the right clinic for them, not just picking the right doctor, but also understanding what questions to ask in about egg freezing or mm-hmm. what happens behind the lab, because it is a little bit of a black curtain, so to speak, that gets drawn that you don't ever see, right?
Right.
So I try to help women challenge them and be like, well, ask for it. If you don't ask, you don't get. So, you know, ask those pictures of your eggs after they're frozen, or
aww.
A picture of the straws that your eggs are frozen on. It
okay.
doesn't hurt.
Yeah.
The worst they could do is say no, right?
Right, but and like you said before, it's kind of like the baby's first photos.
Right. It's, you know, especially with the earlier doctors, I think we didn't ask as many questions about the technology, where the younger women that are coming and doing egg freezing now are becoming a little bit more savvy and are really, really asking the key questions that we should have probably been asking. Because, like, for example, in 2009, only 475 women froze their eggs.
Whoa.
But if you fast forward.
Nationwide?
Nationwide in the state. It was just under 500. And 2009, it's like 10 years ago, right? Just almost 10 years ago. So a lot has changed. Now, if you fast forward to 2013, that's just 4 years later from 2009, you know, only 4,000 women froze their eggs. But that's a big jump from less than 500.
Yeah. Wow. That's
huge.
And
then the data for 2015 showed that about 6,200 women froze their eggs. And that, you know, 3 years after ASRM had taken off the ban or lifted this stigma around egg freezing. And they're estimating that, now data is always like about 2 to 3 years behind in collections. The SART, which is the Society of Reproductive Medicine's reporting system, they're a couple years behind. They lag a couple of years, but they're predicting that 2018, the year that we're in right now, about 15,000 women are currently freezing.
Oh, again, another big jump.
Yep, and by 2020, there should be around 76,000 women.
Oh, my gosh.
So it's an 800% increase.
Oh, gosh. Wow.
Hopefully this helps drive down costs.
Right, because it
can get kind of pricey. And then as you've seen the trends, and in 2014, for example, Google, Facebook, they all started providing egg freezing as a company benefit.
Right, so, and we were also talking about before we got on the phone with you that perhaps like military personnel. I mean, I know that they talk about military personnel, you know, freezing sperm, but I think also if they're going to offer that, then they should also offer egg freezing.
Yeah, you know, that's a good point. You know, we talk a lot about egg freezing initially for like a cancer diagnosis,
right,
or, you know, some kind of medical bereavement that is going to ruin your fertility. Well, another really great reason for egg freezing, like you mentioned, is like if you have a very risky career,
right,
and it's going to put your life potentially or suck a bunch of your time during your reproductive time out, then like the military, you don't know what you might be exposed to if you have to be in the field. It could, sperm freezing for men is really a great option in case like they have an explosion and it, you know, penetrates that area or makes them infertile for some reason. And women too, because it kind of makes them an even playing field. And they're really fragile. So you have to treat them with like really skilled, technology advances and take care of them. Like for example, women that smoke, it's actually more detrimental for women to be smokers than it is for men. If men quit, their sperm's only 3 months old and they generate new sperm every 3 months. But for women, we're born with all the eggs that we'll ever have.
Right.
And so
if we
like
damage them, we damage them.
Yeah.
And so it's just more crucial for women, unfortunately. It's not fair, but biology, that's how biology works.
And luckily, science is hopefully throwing biology a curveball and letting us all have greater control over our reproductive health.
Right.
Yeah.
Not to interrupt you, but I know money and insurance could probably have a big part in this process. Are all the medical costs paid out of pocket for this procedure, or does insurance cover any of it?
So this is the tough part, and the rules and medicine are changing so rapidly. You know, it's really been a 360, depending on who's the president, right? And some of how the insurance deems what's medically necessary. So right now, egg freezing is not typically covered. It's an elective, out-of-pocket expense, and a lot of women are having to fork over a lot of money. Now, I think there's a transparency that's starting to arise where, you know, we're challenging the physicians, like, why does it cost so much? Why are these fees so much? An average fertility cycle costs about $12,500. and until just recently, egg freezing could cost up to $10,000. And I think now with the higher adoption rates and, you know, all of these additional women coming in to freeze electively, it's driving the cost down. So I really encourage women that come to my platforms or to look at any of my egg freezing resources to challenge the clinics that they're working with that skin game. you know, and to maybe offer multiple packages. So you don't just freeze one time, you freeze multiple times. It gives you better odds. You know, it doesn't put so much pressure on one egg freezing cycle. It also, you don't know how you're going to produce eggs that month. Maybe the next month would have been less stressful. So there's all these like rotating factors, these evolutional factors that you can't predict or really understand until you actually embark on it and go through it. So,
sure.
But insurance is shifting and changing. We have a lot of advocacy work that's being done. There's 12 states in the U.S. that mandate medical coverage. So that's great.
Oh,
it's a great,
great
start,
yeah.
For infertility. But infertility, even though it's known as a disability, it's very subjective.
Okay.
So like for some medical professionals, they deem it as 6 months. If you're over the age of 35, 6 months of trying naturally and not conceiving, that's known as infertility. If you're younger, they say, oh, it's a year of trying with unprotected sex.
Okay.
And so what they don't think about, though, often is like STDs and STIs, sexually transmitted infections and diseases, they can actually cause infertility. So STIs, STDs are on the rise.
Right.
And as part of like some of the solutions I'm trying to help the marketplace solve. And that is very key because with dating changes and some of these modern trends, it used to be 1 in 62 would maybe contract any of the STDs, and now it's 1 in 3 sexual experiences equals an STD. So
you
can see
that.
How that lays so dormant and not a lot of symptoms, and then people are passing it to each other and they don't even know they had it. And then that can affect fertility in the future for women because we're the hardest hit.
Right.
I think it's good, though, that Apple and Facebook are starting to cover these non-medical reasons, because then it just shows that there's initiative and that this is important. But it is kind of an out-of-pocket expense. Now, sometimes the hormones that we take could be covered under your pharmaceutical packages
for,
like, your benefit.
So it's good to ask about
that. But, you know, there's some new medical startup companies that are offering fertility-focused loans or financial assistance. And so I really encourage women to, you know, where there's a will, there's a way. And there are very affordable ways to afford egg freezing or to seek fertility treatments. You just look for them and ask for them and do your homework. Like, for example, when I froze my first time, I was covered under Blue Cross Blue Shield of Illinois. It was amazing.
Okay.
I think I paid $98 for hormones that cost over $4,000.
That's
wasn't
wonderful.
So lucky. I wasn't so lucky the second time around. The second time around, I had really shoddy insurance. And you'll see this in the video documentary, This is Egg Freezing. But, you know, I had to call around to the pharmaceutical pharmacies and ask for discount pricing, ask what their best cash rate was, gouge them a little bit, find the manufacturer coupons, you know, and be your own advocate. You can't be afraid to ask for these things. And it has been really taboo in past years. But even think about, like, expanding your horizon a little bit and going to your employer and saying to your employer, hey, I really want to do egg freezing, and you don't offer that as a benefit. Do you think that you could look at that to add to next year's healthcare benefits and packages? You never know what they're going to say. Like,
right. You don't know until you ask.
Untraditional. Yeah, take an untraditional approach here and start thinking bigger about how you can make egg freezing a part of your life. What's funny is that nobody ever talks this way, like, oh, I can't afford a boob job, you know, and that's cosmetic and elective.
Right.
We just think, well, that's what I want to do for myself.
Right.
So it's funny to me when people say, oh, I can't afford egg freezing. Really? That's why you're driving a really nice car in your driveway? That's why you just went on 3 vacations this year? It's priorities. We have to prioritize what's important to us.
Absolutely.
That's my biggest advice.
Yeah. That's a good takeaway.
I do have another question. What about any risks? Are there different risks associated with egg freezing that our listeners should take into consideration?
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, it's a medical procedure. You are put under, so there are some risks, right? But they're very minimal. I would say that, you know, majority-wise, egg freezing or fertility treatments and fertility hormones, they've all been deemed safe by the FDA.
Okay.
So, you know, for a little bit of time, there was some questioning in the medical industry about whether this potentially caused cancer down the line. Or, you know, egg donors, the women that donate their eggs for other needy couples or right. Intended parents that maybe need a DNA egg, or LGBTQ population, you know, gay men, they obviously only have the male factor genes, so they need a female factor in genes to have their families. And so these women that were donating eggs and you going through the egg freezing process on multiple different levels, you know, they're doing it multiple times, there's been no long-term studies on whether that's safe for them. But they're also doing it when they're younger. So I think there's less side effects when you're in your 20s freezing your eggs, which is where the donors are usually, you know, they're finding them at 20-ish right. And they're still in college and stuff. But later in life, you know, the risk that it's very rare that that would happen. Now, the biggest risk is OHSS, the hyperstimulation that I mentioned before.
Right. Okay.
And there are some side effects. Like you could have minor bloating, you could gain a little bit of weight. It might be hard for you to kind of get your hormones back in check after you do the egg cycle or two, or if you do several back to back, it's really hard on your body. So it's going to take some time. But I really think what is underserved and not talked about and often enough is the emotional side of egg freezing and mm-hmm. all of the hormones that are getting pumped into your body, how that affects you emotionally.
Sure.
You know, it's not like a magic pill. You can just go take a magic pill and freeze your egg.
Okay.
It does have this kind of lasting effect on your psyche and how you think about your family and your future and what that means to you. And I think that that's underserved or underlooked at or underappreciated how to prepare for that emotionally.
Okay. Okay. That's great advice. Absolutely.
Yeah. But you can feel really empowered by egg freezing as well. So
okay.
For as much that you maybe question all your choices and everything feels like it's coming at once, you also feel like, wow, I really did something great for myself, because there's no guarantees in life on anything.
Right. Oh,
and
yeah, no.
just because we want a baby doesn't mean that pregnancy is not a privilege. You know, it's pure science and possibility. It's a miracle that life yeah. even happens, that we're even here today. Like you
right.
know, you're one
right.
in 1 trillion possibility that you are here today. So.
Right. Well, Valerie, do you have any last minute or additional advice for our listeners before we wrap this episode
yeah.
up?
Yeah.
I mean, not to mention that you have all your websites and everything. Great advice there.
Yeah, there's lots of great resources and advice on my website. But, you know, some of the best advice I can give listeners is follow your gut. Do your homework. Okay. Ask a lot of questions. And don't be afraid to learn or take charge of your family future and your fertility. Some of the choices that you're making today could be last long decisions that you don't even know could predict or bring a different outcome to your future tomorrow.
Okay.
So if you're feeling overwhelmed by all this information, everything you just learned, it's okay. Take a little breather, step away from it, put it on a shelf, revisit it another time, and just don't wait too long. Like if you think and you're debating, like, you really want children or you think that that might be a very important thing in your life, then take the first proactive step. Get your levels checked. I mean,
okay.
there's no risk
okay.
or a high cost in doing that. Some clinics even do it for a really low rate. Like, I've seen it as low as $59 or
okay.
free with your consultation. A lot of times, insurance will pay for that initial consultation visit. You know, so just take that first step. And
okay. yeah.
and see what your fertility looks like. And also ask your OBGYN, like, hey, can you keep monitoring this for me? What I really hope or I wish is that we would start monitoring the AMH levels, which is your ovarian hormone. And so it can tell you and predict whether or not your fertility is on the right track.
So when you
and
go in for your general checkup, yeah, I could.
Yeah your general
idea.
Checkup. It's just a blood draw. It's just a simple mm-hmm. blood draw. But the worst place you can be in is denial and sticking your head in the sand and saying it won't happen to me and I'm young and my eggs are fine.
Right.
You know, that's just the worst thing you can tell yourself. So, you know, you never know where life may take you. I mean, even if you're in a relationship now, think about freezing your eggs, because you know, even if you're married, there's married couples that break up all the time. I mean, I can't even tell you how many women that I've interviewed that luckily they froze their eggs because the marriage didn't work out. And so that's why I focus on education so much.
Okay.
Because it really is understanding all the benefits and getting your levels checked and talking to your doctor and digesting this, because it takes some time.
And maybe including, too, the legal side of things, where you may want to know what the disposition of your eggs will be if something unforeseen occurs, such as divorce, or if you should pass away, where what will happen to those eggs? So just keep that in mind as well.
Yes, that's a really great point, that you should always seek a medical directive for, yes, or have some legal in place. It's kind of really just smart behavior, right? And a lot of people don't underthink it or don't think about it at all. Especially if you make embryos with a partner, you
right,
need to be very clear, because that is going through the court system at this time, like with different individual cases, and it's on a state-to-state basis. So just because, you know, someone got granted their eggs or their embryos in a different state doesn't mean that will happen in your case. There, it's okay, really state by state. I mean, we could look at the famous actress, what's her name?
What
she has in? Eggs frozen. She used to be in Modern Family, the TV series. I'm blanking at the moment, but she froze embryos with her part-time, and okay, he is fighting
custody of
Regaria.
Those. Right.
Regaria.
Yes.
She's in a custody battle over her embryos,
okay,
that she created with him. She's married, right, to another person already. You know,
right,
she already
right,
married
right,
another actor.
But now she's older, and her eggs. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, but they made embryos when they were together. The first guy she was with, and he is fighting her, which is kind of silly because he could literally have kids with anybody else. But
right,
I think he's just kind of holding her embryos hostage and fighting this battle. He's a lawyer in Florida.
I'm sure that you cover that on your podcast, right?
Yeah, I wish I could talk to Sophia and could have educated her that, hey, she could have maybe sought some legal counsel. There's some fertility-focused lawyers that help,
okay,
mitigate these things. And you can get, for a really cheap amount, like $500, $800. And there's some resources on my Eggology Club rewards page, for example, where you can,
okay,
talk to a lawyer, and all you have to do is mention the code Egg Club, and you get, okay, a discount.
Oh, great.
Yeah,
great.
So there's a
and
lot
save
of
you some, or save you a little bit of heartache down the road.
Right. Well, Valerie, thank you so much for coming on the show and explaining all of this to us.
Yeah,
I mean, it was
wonderful.
All news to me.
Yeah.
I'm from another era,
she's from the
I
old
guess.
Guard.
Yes, yes. And remember, you can hear more from Valerie Landis on her podcast, The Eggology Club, or you can visit her educational website, experience.com, and you can watch her egg freezing journey on thisisegfreezing.com. I'll put links to all of those on our website also for you. She can also be followed online via all of her social media channels and pages like Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, and more.
Thanks, Valerie.
Yes, thank you for your time, Valerie.
Bye, guys. Thanks so much
Bye.
For having me on your show.
Thanks. Take care.
That's all for today's show. On next week's episode, we have a very special episode in memory of the tragic events of 9/11. If you have any questions or comments related to today's show, you can contact us at podcastdx@yahoo.com, through our website, podcastdx.com, on Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, or Instagram.
And if you have a moment to spare, please give us a 5-star review on your favorite podcast directory. As always, please keep in mind that this podcast is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regime. And never disregard the professional and medical advice or delay in seeking it because of something you have heard on this podcast.
Till next week.
Bye-bye.